Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
We're talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in daily life. And one of the most important ways to recognize the Holy Spirit's guidance is to be familiar with God's Word. And the Bible is the ultimate source of wisdom about how we should live, and believers are to assess the Scriptures, meditate on them, and commit them to memory. That's according to Joshua 1:8. Now, the Word is the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians 6, verse 18, and the Spirit will use it to speak to us, John 16, 12 to 14, to reveal God's will for our lives. It's also going to be bringing specific scriptures to mind at times when we need them the most, according to John 14, 26. Now, we've gone through all these scriptures. How does the Holy Spirit guide us in Bible study and growing in Christ in a practical way?
Thank you so much. Let me start by saying that without the Holy Spirit, Bible study will just be an intellectual exercise where people treat the Bible like any other book and recite it the way they can do geography book or history book or some novel. The Holy Spirit helps in Bible studies. He does at least four things. First, he opens our minds to understand the spiritual truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 10. It says that God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Of God. So God opens and reveals things through the Spirit. He reveals Christ through the Word. So we said Jesus is the truth. And Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 18, when the Spirit comes. He will direct you. He will guide you into all truth. So there is no way we can know the ultimate truth, who is Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, Bible study will be confusing, boring, and we are bound almost always to end up resting scripture and making it say things that it doesn't mean. He also convicts and connects us and applying the Word into our lives. One of the best, problems of our time is that preachers read scripture to interpret it to others and not to themselves, and to apply it to others and not to themselves. So if I'm preparing a sermon, I'm preparing a sermon thinking about certain things that are being done in the church or in other people's lives. The proper use of the Bible when the Holy Spirit is there is to apply what we read to us, to convict us, so that when we speak, we are not only speaking things that should correct others, but things that should mean things to us that should correct us. And lastly, he reminds us what we read, we may forget. But John chapter 14, verse 26 says, the Spirit shall remind you. He will remind us of Jesus' words. Without the Holy Spirit, we can read. Tomorrow we are asked, what did we learn? We forget. So he brings to remembrance the Word.
Now, Pastor, tell me, can I understand a scripture without the Holy Spirit? But before you answer that question, I've got the IT people asking me if the line is clear now on your side.
I don't know. On my side, I can't hear you clearly, but I can hear you.
All right. I think they will attend to it. They've had your response. Now, can I understand scripture without the Holy Spirit?
No. You can read scripture without the Spirit, but you cannot truly understand, apply, or be transformed by it without the Holy Spirit's guidance. Why? Luke chapter 24, verse 45. The Holy Spirit opens our minds and our hearts to understand. Without that heart open or that mind open, you can't understand. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, spiritual things require spiritual discernment.
Yeah.
So without spiritual discernment, you can read volumes and volumes, but nothing is transforming you.
Mm.
And nothing is being understandable from your side.
Mm.
A lot of confusion and the resting of scripture.
Yeah.
And the verses that we see as if they are colliding with each other is because we do Bible study not to be edified, but to argue and to flex spiritual muscles.
Mm,
So Romans even says a carnal mind cannot understand spiritual things.
Mm.
So also the Holy Spirit is the teacher. John chapter 14, verse 26. When the Spirit comes, he shall guide you into all truth. He reveals Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do Bible study and read, and we will fail to pick the greatest theme of the Bible, which is Jesus Christ. Most of the Bible verses that we read and we think they are just stories, they are a story of Jesus.
If
you read the Bible and you did not see Jesus in the picture, you did not understand it.
Mm.
So, yes, it's not possible to understand scripture without the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Now, what would you then say is the danger of studying scripture without the Holy Spirit?
Like I've already highlighted, if a person studies scripture without the Holy Spirit, they are bound to misunderstand it.
Are you saying you are bound? Is that for sure?
Yes. When a person reads scripture without the Holy Spirit, they are like someone who is trying to go to school without a teacher.
So hang on. So if a person reads a, let's say, Spirit of Prophecy books or maybe some religious book written by Matache, for instance, Matache has written a book on a subject about God, etc. They can read and understand it, but if they read the scripture without the Holy Spirit, they will not understand? Is that what you are suggesting?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's possible to read a book by someone and understand. There are spiritual books as well. But the Bible is the greatest spiritual book of all.
Okay.
A book that has been prayed for.
Mm.
Peter says, holy men of God were moved by the Spirit as they wrote.
Mm.
How dare we approach that book without inviting the same Spirit to come and make us see what he wanted us to see?
Okay.
That he instructed the writers.
Mm. Oh, okay. Now, what does it mean then that the Holy Spirit intercedes in our behalf or interprets our prayers? Does God not understand our language? I thought it's a simple language.
Very interesting question. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that says that.
Mm.
So I'll read it. It says,
mm-hmm.
likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Mm.
So what does that mean? It means when we say the Holy Spirit is interceding for us, it does not mean that God does not understand us. No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It means we do not understand God. That's why we need assistance, because sometimes we kneel down, we pray, and we don't even know what we are praying for.
Mm.
And we don't even know how to pray. I was surprised when, I think it's chapter 6 of Matthew, when the disciples of Jesus went to him and said, teach us to pray. I was like, how? These people were handpicked by God himself. They want to be taught how to pray. Imagine me and you now in 2025. Most of us, when we think I have prayed, either we have done an abomination or we have poured selfishness that God, Satan, kicked out of heaven.
Mm.
So we do not know what to pray for, mm. and we don't know what how to pray. Sometimes what we ask for is not what we actually need.
Yeah,
it's what we want, not what we need.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit comes in and interprets our need to God. This verse is not talking about language comprehension. It's about spiritual alignment. Our prayers are selfish, full of confusion, and he comes to align them with God's will. He comes to align our will with God's will. So the last part, doesn't God understand our language? He does. God understands our language. He understands our thoughts. At least that's what Psalms 139 verse 4 says. But we do not have, sometimes, have you been in a situation where you kneel down and you do not even have the right words to speak? Sometimes you do not have the right clarity. Sometimes you don't have strength. Sometimes you are too weak to pray because of pain and grief. A loved one has just left you and you are confused. You do not have words. You just kneel and tears are rolling down. Mm. God understands mm. that. The Holy Spirit then aligns your will to God's will and interprets what you are feeling to God. So God intercedes for us, not for God. The problem is not with God, but with us.
Now, what is the meaning and importance of praying in the Spirit? I mean, if it says that, can we then pray out of the Spirit?
Can you pray
out of the Spirit?
Certainly, most definitely.
So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit then?
Let me start with the meaning of praying out of the Spirit.
Mm.
Most of our prayers are things that we have recited. I'm talking about things that used to happen to me. When they appointed me and say, you are going to give us the first prayer, or you give us the last prayer. You start thinking, what will I say? How will I start? Have you been in that situation? And you pray. When you pray, you recite exactly what you had previously thought about. So our prayers are just a... I don't know whether I should call them dramatization.
Mm-hmm.
Where we come and then we are saying, my dear loving God, this. My dear loving God, this. My dear loving God, this. But after every word, it's just a repetition of words.
Mm.
Now, what is praying in the Spirit?
Okay.
Praying in the Spirit is also not praying in tongues, because a lot of people think when they do the glossolalia, that confusion, they think I was praying in the Spirit because I was saying things that I do not understand. Praying in Spirit is not about emotions. It's not about eloquence. It's about connection.
Mm.
So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, that's the one that talks about praying in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And Jude chapter 1, verse 20, it says you must pray in the Spirit. And I wanted to give you an etymological breakdown of that verse.
Okay, all right.
What it means.
Okay.
Okay, so when it says a person must pray in spirit, this is what it means. I'll give you biblical examples at the end. This is what the Greek version says.
Mm.
So the Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Now, let me deal with in the spirit for the sake of time.
Mm-hmm.
Praying in the spirit is enumati. It refers to pray under the influence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Mm. It indicates dependence, alignment with God's will, and spiritual discernment. Here are examples. When we say a person is praying in spirit, you are praying something that you did not pre-plan.
Mm.
Okay? So you can have this sudden burden to say, pray for Zama.
Okay.
Yeah, from nowhere, you have heard nothing and something, you have this prompting that says, pray for this one, pray for him now, pray now. Okay? And you kneel down and you start praying. Sometimes you can be praying for someone physically present. And when you the name of this person comes, you start praying about things about this person that you had no prior knowledge to, that are true to that person.
Mm.
So it's praying beyond your understanding, allowing the Holy Spirit to direct your prayer and how you pray, allowing the Holy Spirit to align your prayer with God's will. That's Romans 8, verse 26 to 27. It's a heartfelt, sincere, spirit-filled prayer. Not just repeated words or recitations.
Mm, mm, mm.
It's being sensitive to God's presence, often filled with passion, truth, and surrender. It's a prayer of faith and total dependence. It has nothing to do with volume. A lot of people think when I'm praying in the spirit, I must be loud and I utter certain words that I don't know. You can pray silently like Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 4. And your lips are moving and there are no words and you are praying in the spirit. You can pray aloud like Stephen on chapter 7 of Acts verse 55. And you are being stoned, but you start seeing certain things. You acknowledge the presence of Jesus. It's a deep connection with God.
Deep connection with God. I think this is something deeper than many of us can actually comprehend. And yet it happens. And I suppose that's why some of the people would say, well, the spirit things belong to the spirit.
Yes, your prayers will move from what I want to what God wants without effort. You can kneel down and you want to pray for certain things and you end up praying for things that you didn't plan. The Holy Spirit directing and guiding what is mostly needed.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful one. Pastor Matache, I must thank you so much for your time and coming through and talking to us this afternoon. Always a breath of fresh air talking to you. Have a fantastic afternoon. We'll talk to you then tomorrow.
Thank you, Zama. God bless you and God bless Adventist World Radio.
Lovely. Thank you so much, sir.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.